T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So I have a prank for you guys to try at home. You ready for this? You guys know me. I'm just a wonderful influence for all of you guys here in the Upstate, right? I am a tremendous influence. I'm here to help your relationships at home. So I have a prank for you to pull on the missus, all right? And if she gets mad, I didn't do it. Okay, blame another friend. Okay, but we're definitely all friends. You, me, and everybody else, we're friends. So here's the prank. The sprayer in your sink, right? You pull it out. It's like the hose thing, the sprayer. Point that just straight ahead and put a rubber band around it. Okay? That's all you got to do. Put a rubber band around the trigger of that thing. Wrap it around a couple times. Have the sprayer pointed just straight right ahead. And then the next time your wife, your girlfriend, your significant other, your lady friend, the next time she turns on the sink, she's going to take a bath. All right. And what's so good about this prank is that there's like 10 seconds that happens where they're getting wet and they don't even realize what's happening. Like, why am I getting wet? I don't understand what's happening here. What is going wrong? Why am I getting shot with water all over the place? There's like 10 seconds of inactivity where, you know, it's just, I'm telling you, folks, this is a family program, but they're getting wetter and wetter and wetter. Okay? I promise you that. So anyway, it's a harmless
prank.
Wait
a minute. You're not married? How could you not be married?
Lonzo, you have a testimonial for why I'm not married for 4 hours every single day on this show, okay? I think the greater miracle would be if I was married, given what I subject you to on a daily basis, right? By the way, Brandon Gibson is tweeting into the show, and he says, Mark, I'm so sorry, Brandon. I woke up with my bed on fire. Oh, my God.
What did you do, Brandon?
My covers, pillow. Brandon, it was what happened right before you went to bed that painted the bed on fire,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it wasn't, because there have been Lifetime movies about the burning bed. Hopefully it wasn't
that. Brandon just set his bed on fire with some activity before he fell asleep, I imagine. But here's what he says. My covers, pillow, I was sleeping on. Everything. I had somehow tipped over a candle in my sleep, burned my whole room up. Obviously was never allowed to own a candle again as a kid. Brandon, listen, I am not here to be in the doghouse of the Gibson family, but I'm going to say, Brandon, that's not on you, bro. That is not on you. Ain't no way you should have ever had a candle right next to your bed when you're sleeping. Thank God you're okay. You know, there was a time, like, my sister was born when I was 6, and she was an infant, and, like, my mom asked me to watch her. We were watching cartoons on my parents' bed, and she asked me to watch my sister for a few minutes while she went in, you know, did something with dinner that she was making downstairs, and I'm 6 years old. The second she leaves the room, Lonzo, my attention gets diverted. The next thing I hear is boom. My sister hits the ground, and she's screaming, and, like, my mom yelled at me, and I was just like, dude, that wasn't my, like, I'm 6 years old. What are you doing? Like, what are you doing? I think I even said that when I was 6 years old. Mom, I'm 6 years old. What are you doing? And, like, years later, she's like, that's totally my bad. I never should have had you guys, never should have left a six-year-old with an infant in a room even for a few minutes.
So what you're saying is the side business of babysitter probably not going to happen with you.
Lonzo, the side bitty of the side gig of babysitter, the side gig of husband. It would be great if the side gig of boyfriend could happen sometime soon. All right, but I think my odds of that.
At least we're number one in the ratings, so you got that going
for
you.
There you go. There you go. Let's see here. Mark, we used to do that trick with the sprayer to my mom all the time. That comes from Joey. Lonzo, will you – you're free, right? Nobody's listening right now in your home. Will you try that at home? Will you try
this? My wife is listening.
Will you try the sprayer?
She's listening.
Maybe the Winter Raven is not listening.
Don't do that.
That's a great name. Didn't we agree that's a great name?
Don't do that.
Okay, maybe Raven's listening. Maybe Raven isn't listening, and maybe you can – what do you say? You think you can pull that off?
I will not do that to either one of my children because I will pay. They are my children, and I understand. And I'm definitely not going to do it to my
what
wife.
What would they do to you if you try to pull that off?
It would be something creative. That's all I can say. And I no. I don't want that kind of I mean, not in my household, not right now, not under the current situations where everybody's living at home. No. I like peace. Peace is a good thing. I get the opposite of peace here. Let me have peace there. No, thank you.
Yeah, there you go. All right. If you guys want to try the sprayer challenge, just try it at home. Let me know. Let's have a little follow up here.
Make sure you video it.
Oh, that would be great if you could video it. That would be amazing. If you guys want to try the sprayer challenge again, I accept no responsibility for any of this whatsoever. Okay, but. You put the rubber band around the little sprayer on the sink, the sprayer that they pull, you know, that you and the wife pull out to do the dishes, right? And you just point it straight ahead. You put the rubber band around it twice. Make sure the rubber band is tight over the trigger. Then the next time the wife turns on the faucet, everybody's wet. It is one of my favorite pranks of all time. Ever. Texter says, when I was a kid, my dad got a snake off the street. Oh, no. And came in my room. Oh, no. Came in my room and. Oh, my God. Okay. Got to start over. When I was a kid, my dad got a snake off the street and came in my room and woke me with this snake about a foot away from my face. Oh, my God. Oh, it's all over. It is all over, man. It is all like you have the right to disown the old man after that, right? You have the right. Like, what was the look on your face when you opened your eyes? That's insane, man. That is absolutely positively insane. And I can't even believe what I just heard. Another texter says, man, I love that prank with a rubber band on the sprayer. My mom beat the bleep out of me. But it was totally worth it. This is why I say that Mark Ryan is not going to be the bad influence that some of you want me to be, okay? I am not putting this in writing. I would never put this in writing. I would say it on the air, and then I would deny it. And then I would say, Lonzo, get that audio off the podcast. I never said that. But anyway, yeah, it's that is a fantastic prank. That is one of my favorite pranks that you could ever do. And if I'm honest with you, I also kind of think it's a compatibility test. Because I think this is just my opinion, right? So take it with a grain of salt, because my opinion hasn't been right a lot this week. If you are with the right woman, she takes that in the spirit intended. You know, that's just my take. If you're with the wrong woman, you're in the doghouse for a couple days after that. You know, but the right woman, she's gonna laugh. She's gonna look at you with a slightly ticked off grin. The same look that she gives you right before you guys have amazing makeup sex, and then you know that a prank is going to come your way at some point in the next week, and you're just going to get that kind of evil eye, but you're not really in trouble. You see what I'm saying? You follow me? You hear? All right. I love that. Love that. That's one of my favorite pranks of all time, man. One of my favorite pranks of all time. You get to hear, ladies and gentlemen, Game 2 of the World Series. Our coverage begins here on ESPN Upstate at 7:30. It is Blake Snell, former Cy Young Award winner for the Tampa Bay Rays, against Tony Gonsolin of the LA Dodgers. That is an advantage for the Rays, but believe it or not, the Dodgers are a slight favorite, -130 in this particular game. I have one realization about the Game 1 of the World Series, and it's been a realization that has been coming to me over the last few games in Major League Baseball's postseason. Mookie Betts is the best player in the game. He's the best player in the game. And you look at these contracts that baseball gives out, right? These massive contracts. Lonzo, I now have a stink bug in my apartment because I have my window open with the screen, but there's a hole in the screen, and the stink bug has crawled through the hole in the screen and is now in my place.
If you smash it really quickly, it won't smell. You'll be all right.
I am on the air. Do those really smell? Is that a thing?
Dude, you seriously don't know
that? No, I have no idea. I've never lived in a place with stink bugs before.
Don't kill it. If you be careful capturing
you're kidding
it.
Me. Oh no!
The smell is pretty bad. And I'm not messing with you.
No,
the smell is pretty bad. They were named that for a reason.
No.
Yep.
You got to be kidding me.
Yep.
No. I'm watching Lonzo. I'm tethered to this device here, and I'm watching it crawl up my wall here. What do I do with this thing? Oh no. No.
Now, if you capture it in like a towel or something and squish it really quick and don't open the towel up and just throw the towel
in. It's really that bad? Come on, man. You're making this thing sound like a skunk.
All right. Well, it's akin to a skunk. If it's the same potency but on a smaller level. I mean, that's the reason why they call it stink bugs. If you don't believe me, just go ahead and kill it and tell me that I'm wrong.
Please, no. All right, guys. The other thing is LSU against South Carolina coming up this weekend. I think it's a crime against humanity that LSU is favored in this game. The only reason they're favored is because their name is LSU. It's the same betting principle that always happens with the Yankees and the Patriots. All right. I tell any Yankee fan that will listen, never bet the Yankees because the odds they give you suck. Vegas knows that everybody bets the Yankees. Vegas knows that everybody bets the New England Patriots. The odds you get on those teams suck. This is simply that, folks. This is your real chance, if I'm honest with you, to make money, because South Carolina is a better football team than LSU. And if South Carolina loses this game, in my honest, humble opinion, then they've undone any good that they've done with Auburn. But let's focus on the positive. In my power poll in the Southeastern Conference, in my SEC power poll, the Gamecocks are now sixth. They had the biggest single-week jump of any team in my SEC power poll this year. They've gone from 12th to 6th, okay? 12th to 6th. LSU, on the other hand, is second to last in my SEC power poll. They're 13th out of 14 teams. They are the worst team in the SEC's Western Division right now, folks. It's very simple. They lost to Mississippi State. They lost to Missouri. Those two schools are 11th and 12th, respectively, in my power poll. They have to be ahead of LSU because they've beaten LSU. LSU's only win has come against Vanderbilt. LSU, in my opinion, first three games has played the three worst teams in the SEC. If this was really LSU, they would be 3-0. But right now, the Vegas guys say LSU is a six-point favorite. A six-point favorite, which, guess what that means? That means they're trying to get you, they're trying to get people, the LSU fans, to bet LSU all. LSU's only got to beat the Gamecocks by a touchdown. Look at that. They beat them by a touchdown, kick the extra point, I win the bet. Folks, the Gamecocks are a much better team than LSU. The Gamecocks should win this game by double digits. I don't give a rip where the game is played, all right? Now, the big question for me is how do the Gamecocks perform as the hunted instead of the hunter? They have been the hunter for a very, 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 very long time. In this game, in my opinion, you're expected to win. You are expected to win. A texter says, Mark, let's talk Gamecocks LSU. We're there, sir. Big weekend. I think we've got a puncher's chance. I think you should win this game. You should expect to win this game. Texter says, Mark, don't make the stink bug mad. It'll stink, but you can get it in a paper towel and flush it. I'm going to flush talking about this. I can't.
Yeah, flushing is probably the way to go. You're diffusing it with water. And you got to hope that it actually flushes because you don't want it crawling back on you.
Stink bug on the move. Stink bug on the move. He's on the 20. He's on the 30. Oh, he put out the stiff arm lock, so he's on the 40. Here he goes all the way to the end zone. Which he's going actually further away from me here. I don't know why I know the sex of this thing. I'm just telling you it's a male. Let's see. No, he's no. Lonzo is lying. You're supposed to smash them. If you don't, they get offended and will stink your house up. True story. So you're supposed to smash them. This is what the texters are saying, Lonzo. You're supposed – one of you guys doesn't care about me.
Yeah, yeah.
One of you guys doesn't care about me, and I'm trying to figure out who it is.
What you have to decide is who you believe in more, the texters or me.
Texter says, Mark, you haven't seen much South Carolina football, have you? They always lose when they should win. I'm well aware of that. The only way Will Muschamp keeps his job is if they do things that they haven't done before, is if they graduate to the next level up in performance. We didn't think – now, when we made our picks a month ago, I had South Carolina beating LSU. I didn't think LSU was going to be this bad. I thought they'd be 3-0, Missouri, Mississippi State, and Vanderbilt heading into this game, but I picked the Gamecocks to beat them. I think the Gamecocks are a better team. They've got a better defense. They've got a better offense. LSU's defense, I'm sorry, is as bad as Florida's. Florida's defense is 72nd in college football. LSU's is 71st, 496 yards a game allowed. You've got to win this game. Don't buy the line. Don't buy this notion that you're not supposed to win this game, because I'm telling you, you are. You need to win this game. You should win this game, and you should be livid if you don't. You're the better football team here, and don't let any Vegas line tell you otherwise. All right, coming up next on the show, we are going to hear from Tim Frisbee on this game coming up this weekend, LSU and South Carolina. What are the keys to the game, and how would he grade the Gamecocks through four games of their season? That's next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. We are ESPN Upstate. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's quickly catch up on the text line. Mark, when you mentioned Mookie Betts, at least introduce him as the Greenville Drive's own Mookie Betts. Sheesh, Mark, tighten up, LOL. This is exactly where I get no help from Lonzo, number one, but number two, where I need you guys.
Really?
Clear your throat. I'm talking now.
You're gonna throw this on me.
I'm absolutely.
You're really gonna throw this on me.
Yeah, dump everything else on you. Why not expect
any baseball help from me ever.
This is where I need y'all's help, because I have no idea who played for the Greenville Drive. And I know Dustin Pedroia was down here last year for a rehab stint, but I have no idea. Like, Mookie Betts, I'm sure, is
look it up.
Listen, Lonzo, do I have to look up every single player? Do I have to look up every single player who's ever played?
Well, sure, why not? It's your job.
There you go, Lonzo. This is the job of our audience.
The team hasn't been around that long, so it wouldn't be that hard to do.
Let's see. Panda says, in terms of Mike Trout, he would have gotten that deal from any team that could afford it. Angels had to make that move. Imagine the backlash they would have gotten if they didn't. You don't have to jump off a cliff just because other people are going to jump off a cliff. The Mike Trout deal is a cliff diving contract. I never understand this, man. Oh, if we hadn't drafted this, if we hadn't drafted Jamarcus Russell number one, somebody else would have taken him two and three. No. I only care about you. And then another texter says, I don't understand how 100,000 people, it's 253,000, sir, give two figs about what a 60-year-old man says on the radio. Listen, the only thing that was more harmful than that you could have said is little grapes, okay? Do I really sound like a 60-year-old grumpy-ass old man? Do I sound like that on the radio here? There's no way I sound 60 years old.
Say back in my day.
Back in my day.
Yeah, yeah.
Punk asses back in my day.
Wow.
This is incredible. This is incredible.
Yeah,
man.
You sound about 62 and a half.
This is ridiculous. I'm offended by you. I'm offended by this text.
There's
I'm
a big difference between 100,000 and, what did you say, 263,000?
253,000.
253. Sorry, I added an extra 10.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, there's a difference. That's kind of a big deal.
It is kind of a big deal. I just want to figure out how we can keep it going. We're joined right now for his weekly segment by Tim Frisbee. You know him as Pops. You've seen him on the late night show with Jay Leno. You've seen him on late night with David Letterman. And he played for Lou Holtz. He played for Steve Spurrier. He joins us right now. Tim, because you have a ton of wisdom, which I'm sure you are well younger than the age of 60, Tim. So you are well younger than I am. What was your general take on the storm that I found myself embroiled in the last 24 hours on social media. I'm sure you're shocked, Tim, that I was involved in that.
What exact storm was that?
The one that you liked today about, see, he doesn't even know, Lonzo. Big deal. The thing about the fandom? About the fandom, and
oh,
you liked
okay,
it this morning?
Yeah.
Remember all that?
Oh,
went
yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Went nuts. Well, what was your take on that?
I told you my piece was, and that's the one where you said if you're a fan of, you should be a fan of all the teams in the city?
Correct.
And my take on this was, see, I grew up in Pennsylvania, halfway between New York City exactly and halfway and Philadelphia. So we had all the network channels from both New York City and Philadelphia. As kids, we watched what the adults watched in the house. So in that case, I became my family watched the Yankees and the Knicks for basketball, and they watched the Eagles and the Flyers for hockey. So that became my allegiance. So I mean, I wasn't a Philly guy. I wasn't a New York guy. I was split in half, even though almost everybody around me was, like you said, an all Philadelphia fandom. But it just, you know, just so happened that's how I was. But yeah, I can see how people get riled up about that. But you know, that was just my take on it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. That's what I think. Everybody's got their own passionate story about that, and that's why I think it's actually a fun topic. All right, Tim, let's get to the Gamecocks. What is your early season grade for what you've seen so far?
Well, you know, at 2-2, and I think we could have easily beat, and I expected us to beat Tennessee, and we probably should have. We're 2-2 instead of 3-1, but I don't think, you know, people can be disappointed at this point. You know, there were some grumblings, obviously. You're always going to have that. But being 2-2 with the possibility of being able to go 3-2 out of this first five-game break, I would say that's pretty good.
I would give it
a C plus.
Whoa!
Room for much
whoa,
room for improvement.
C plus. See, you beat Auburn, man. You beat Auburn, man. I don't want to take your class. I'm not signing up for your class. That's tough.
And that's great, but I have higher expectations, and I think you know, that was great getting that monkey off our back. But you know, there's why I say it's C plus, because I leave room for improvement. Almost a B, but a high C plus.
C plus is the grade for a Gamecocks team that just beat Auburn, a team they had beaten one time in 12 games. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. So how do they now make this a habit, Tim? How do they continue this suddenly resurgent level of play?
Well, you think a one time in 10 games was bad. Let's have no illusions here. The Gamecocks are 2-1-18 versus LSU. The current streak sits at 6. Last time the Gamecocks won was 1994, 26 years ago. You know, between 2002 and 2015, under Coach Holtz and Spurrier in that time frame, still weren't able to crack the LSU code. So this is another game, just like Auburn, where we need to get that monkey off our back. And, you know, that's what we want to go down to the Bayou and do on Saturday.
So how do you do that? What do you need to do?
Well, how we do that is, first of all, we have to continue with the run game, getting Harris and Fenwick involved and having them have quality days from that running back position. You're going to have to get somebody else to stand up at receiver other than Shai Smith. You know, obviously today you learned that Jalen Brooks is back. I don't expect too much of him out of it this week. I'm not going to put too much high expectations on that kid for his first game in the SEC at this level. But I would rather be pleasantly surprised if he gives us some numbers on Saturday, get somebody else to stand out. We're going to need some explosive plays. Get two or three explosive plays. You win the turnover battle, you can win this game Saturday.
So in a normal home field advantage in college football is worth 3.5 points. This year, they seem to be worth 2 to 3 points. I need you to explain something to me, Tim. In my SEC power poll, I have the Gamecocks 6th and LSU 13th. I have them as the worst team in the West, as evidenced by losses to two teams immediately in front of them, Missouri and Mississippi State, and I have them second worst in the entire conference. They beat Vanderbilt, so you have to put them ahead of the Commodores. Then how in God's name is LSU a 6-point favorite in this game, especially when you consider that Miles Brennan, their starting quarterback, is likely not going to play? I don't want to spoil my upset pick a day early, but in my opinion, South Carolina is a good team. LSU is a bad team right now. It's really quite that simple.
Yeah, and that's easily explainable. The pundits are going by tradition, you know, and in this case, a lot of things favor the Gamecocks. You know, normally playing in Tiger Stadium is a hellish experience. You know, you're talking about 108,000 people. It becomes their 12th man, the real Death Valley down there. I'll tell you that you take that out of the equation. I think if anything, the lack of crowd has affected LSU this year more than any SEC team, because they're used to that it's very hard to hear down there. Just like I said, a hellish experience as a opposing player when you come in there. And then just the massive change.
Yeah, but imposing with 8,000 people there? 16,000 people there? Come on.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. That's going to affect them more than any team, I think, in the SEC West, because they're used to that. So that's definitely going to be something that the Gamecocks are going to be able to take advantage of from an offensive standpoint, just being able to get your calls in, not being kind of sped up by the crowd. It's definitely a Gamecock lean there.
I'll tell you what. I tell people, Tim, to bet against the Yankees every single year, because the odds makers know that all the Yankee fans are going to throw all their money on them. It's the same right now with the New England Patriots. You can get the best bet in the NFL by betting against the Patriots, whatever team they're playing. That is literally the best bet because of the fanatical nature of their fan base. The only reason LSU's favored over the Gamecocks is because their name is LSU at this point. I see no X and O or personnel reason why they should be favored by even a single point over the Gamecocks in this game. You know, you guys have watched these games, right? You've seen them. There's no way, and I'll go as far as to say this, Tim. If the Gamecocks lose this game, they erase any positive that they generated with Auburn. Agree or disagree?
No, I agree. They should be approaching this as a winnable game when they go down there. It's just as simple as that. You know, they have a lot of things going in their favor. You know, LSU's kind of reeling. They're under heels. So now's the time you need to take advantage of them.
Do you understand, Tim? Do you understand fans like Lonzo that root against, essentially, the Gamecocks because he wants Will Muschamp out? Do you understand fans who are at that level of suffering right now?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, I understand, you know, you're always going to have people upset. But, you know, you take things year to year. You take things based on talent, on expectations. Muschamp has a lot of room to improve. But he's doing a half-decent job. And, again, we've said this from the beginning of the year. Who else are you going to get in there right now at this point? You know, you have to look at it like that. And, you know, there comes a time where, you know, you have to kind of put your foot to the pedal and kind of go with what you have, see what you can do, instead of always looking around the turn for the next big thing.
I don't suppose I can jump in here for a second. Let me just say I've never openly said that I root against the Gamecocks. Here's what I've said. I want them to win, but if they don't, I'm not that upset, because I would like them to. There's a difference between that stance and saying, man, I just want them to lose every game. I don't. I want them to win, but if they don't, I'm not that upset, because I know that's one more step of him being out the door.
I don't know. That sounds like he's okay with losses to me, ladies and gentlemen. How about you? Okay, Tim, where does this team still have to improve? You watched the game last weekend. You know, I kind of felt like Auburn dominated the first half. You looked at the total yardage. I think it was 236 to 119, and you know it was really tight because of the two Bo Nix interceptions. But then I really thought the Gamecocks imposed their will in the second half. As you kind of digest what you've seen thus far, where are areas of improvement, areas of focus now moving forward?
Well, you know, the Gamecocks are at this point much better in run blocking than they are in pass blocking. You can be sure Bo Pelini is going to dial up a bunch of blitzes on Saturday to try to affect Colin Hill back there. You know, if he, obviously, if you give Hill some time to throw, though, you know, he's going to be able to pick you apart. The guy's very poised back there in the pocket. What goes against him is his elusiveness. He's not elusive, so he's not going to escape from the pocket too much, and they're not going to dial up too many quarterback runs. So have to get better in the pass blocking area for sure. And as far as the defense, you saw a little bit more gambling last Saturday, which I like. Now you have Brennan out this game. You're going to have inexperienced quarterbacks in this game. South Carolina is going to have to dial up the pressure. Their corners are going to have to take a little bit more chances. You call it slicing. They're going to have to get up on in front of receivers, make rely on their safety help, and make those new inexperienced quarterbacks make kind of perfect throws. You're going to make them throw in the brackets, throw in between them. And like I said, if you can win that turnover game, that goes a long way to being able to win this game on Saturday.
His name is Tim Frisbee. You know him as Pops. Played for Lou Holtz, played for Steve Spurrier, appeared on the Jay Leno Show, appeared on Late Night with David Letterman, and he joins us every single week for some Gamecock insights right here Wednesday at 3:20 p.m. Tim, appreciate you, man. Thank you so very much. Good luck this Saturday.
All the time. That's right. Let's go, Cox. All right.
There you go. Tim Frisbee joining us here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate. A texter says, your stink bug 12 pack has been sent out for delivery via StinkX. You should receive your order between 8 and 9 p.m. That hilarious text comes in from Panda. Appreciate all of your participation in the most interactive sports radio show in the upstate of South Carolina. It is time for Lonzo and I to do a little ditty we call Either Or. A couple of options on life and sports. Either Or starts right now. All right, Lonzo, what do you got?
Okay, so ex-NBA referee Tim Donaghy is set to appear as a referee for Major League Wrestling.
Oh, God, what a waste.
Should Tim Donaghy disappear from the public eye
forever? I'll never get these 30 seconds back.
Forever, or milk his infamy for every penny he can?
You know, you kind of feel bad for him, Lonzo, because he made a mistake, and you always want people to have a second chance. Like Alex Rodriguez was in the doghouse, and he's rehabilitated his image by putting himself on TV. He doesn't need any money. He would be paying ESPN in order to do that job. But this guy did something so shady, man. Don't you think the best move for him is to change his name, have a new identity, and just start over somewhere else, man? Get the hell out of here.
I think you could be right, but he's such a public figure and people recognize him and what he did. He deserves to try. I mean, he went to prison. He deserves to try to make a living, and I think he should milk it for everything he can. Get whatever money you can get.
Can he rehabilitate his image, though? That's the million-dollar question.
What better place to do it in?
Lonzo, yes or no, do you push your car to the empty zone to your gas light being on when you're driving?
You know, I would like to say that I do not, but that would be a lie because I absolutely do. And also, there's a it's a procrastination problem. I think that's probably your problem, too.
Procrastination's a lot like masturbation, Lonzo. It feels good until you realize you're screwing yourself.
Okay, thank you for that. I don't know about your car, but most newer cars or cars in the last decade, I think, have a thing where they tell you how many miles you have left on your tank of gas.
Yeah, they do, but it's always wrong.
Well,
you know, and it just disappears.
It hasn't been wrong so far. That's all I'm saying.
Really?
Yes.
Yours hasn't been wrong.
No.
Lonzo, they tell me that this does something to your fuel filter that isn't good, that isn't positive.
Okay.
Literally, I never get my gas tank filled if the light isn't on. If the light isn't on, that means I don't need to get it filled. And if the light is on, that means I have an hour more to drive. And that's exact. And I know, Lonzo, exactly where that empty line needs to be, where I really have no gas left. It's like a couple of millimeters. You can see a space between the line and the bottom of the barrel. You can see like a space. You see a little bit of black there. And when I see that, that means right away, I got to go. By the way, Lonzo, I'll tell you this. When I was driving here, when I was moving here, I made the horrible mistake. There's a bridge in Louisiana that's like 40 minutes long. I was in my U-Haul, and my light came on right before I got on this bridge that I didn't know was 40 minutes long. And my light's on the entire time, and I'm in a swamp in Louisiana on some bridge with my gas light on. And I'm just like, okay, Mark, don't stress about it. There's nothing you can do at this point. Either you're going to be chilling with the alligators tonight, or you're going to get over this bridge. And somehow, some way, Lonzo, I made it. But that thing was at a level that thing was south of the South Pole. That level was so low by the time I finally got off that bridge.
Yeah, I have to be extra careful because there are spots on my way home where there are absolutely no lights, and I would not want to break down there.
All right, Lonzo, what else do you got?
There's a chance the upcoming Super Bowl could be pushed back to March. That's according to Green Bay Packers president Mark Murphy, who's revealed the NFL has a Super Bowl contingency plan in place if games keep getting postponed. Is March too late for the Super Bowl, or does it need to be played no matter when?
Lonzo, I don't understand this argument at all. This is a segment topic. This isn't an either or. This has meat to it. Who cares when we play the high school state championship? Who cares? Get it right. You don't kick teams out of the state playoffs for having a positive COVID test. I don't care if you finish in April. Okay? Just get people well, do it right, have a legitimate champion. Can you imagine Dutch Fork or Burns being eliminated from the playoffs because of this? Now, your question was about the NFL. Same answer. I don't give a rip if you play in 2024. Just do it right and crown a champion when you're ready. We understand. We're patient people. This whole, can we play in March? You play in February right now. Whoop-de-freaking-do.
Well, the entire year, the sports year is all out of whack anyway. Who cares when they play it, as long as they play it?
And finally, Lonzo, I have an audio track here of one of my favorite players of all time. Okay, one of my favorite players of all time. His name is Mercy Percy Harvin, and I just want you to listen, my friends, to this brilliance.
Some one-sided losses, and they got to keep him out of the end zone. Nice move by Harvin. Percy Harvin, touchdown!
Percy Harvin on the return for the Vikings. Harvin, across midfield, cuts back inside.
Oh, Jeff Reed, you're going to get in trouble on this one.
The second kickoff return.
They pitch it to Percy Harvin. And that's a first down. Down the sideline goes Harvin. And he will go into the end zone.
Unbelievable protection. Throws into traffic. The catch made by Harvin. He cuts it back the other way and into the end zone.
Top it up. Good kick by Prater on a hop. It's Harvin. But now he takes off. And Percy Harvin gets free. Percy Harvin inside the 30. He's going to go.
They're coming after Ponder. He gets it away. The crossing pattern to Harvin already with a big touchdown. And he's going for
Lonzo, Percy Harvin. Do you remember him? Do you classify him as an elite playmaker?
I don't remember him, and I think you
what
talk
you
way
you
too
do?
Much about a guy who doesn't matter in the annals of football
about?
History.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're talking about such crap that it's the annals of history right now. He's an elite playmaker. He is what Debo Samuel wishes he could be. You understand? You understand? You got corn cobs between your ears, son? Is this Lonzo tries to rib Mark because he's a Gator? You know how good that guy was. You know how good that guy was.
Hey, have you lost track of the stink bug?
Yeah, man, I have. I've lost track of the damn stink bug. And what's up with it suddenly being dark when the show's over again, man? I didn't remember that happening at this time last year. Oh, that's right. We weren't doing the show.
Yeah, we weren't on. And it's going to get worse when the time changes.
Oh, man. When is that?
In November, I believe. I don't
November?
Know the
exact changes
date.
Again?
In November.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. So why should you care about World Series Game 2 when the Braves aren't in it? Atlanta falling to the Dodgers in Game 7, they had it too, man. It was right there within their grasp. Why should you care? In my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the best, this is one of the all-time greatest David versus Goliath matchups that professional sports has ever afforded us. I'm talking about $128 million payroll for the Dodgers in a shortened season, right? That's truncated. Versus a $28 million payroll for the Rays. In 60 games, the Rays have a payroll $100 million less. By the way, Mookie Betts and Clayton Kershaw combined are making more this year than the entirety of the Rays' payroll. 7:30 p.m. right here on ESPN Upstate. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.